Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Next generation television, what is it and why should you care? Well, today's guest is going to fill us in on this new technology that will be coming our way fairly soon. Technology that will revolutionize the way you watch television. And my guest should know whereof he speaks. He's Dennis Wharton, the Executive Vice President of Communications at the National Association of Broadcasters. Dennis, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Well, thanks for having me, Shirley. This is a fun topic, and I hope to enlighten some of your listeners.
You'll enlighten me, too, because I really don't know very much about it. So this is an education process for all of us. Now, in doing my research for this, I came upon something called ATSC 3.0. Is that the same thing? Is that what you're referring to when you say next generation television?
Absolutely, it is. ATSC stands for a committee of broadcasters, cable operators, Hollywood studio representatives, internet companies, consumer electronics manufacturers. Stands for the Advanced Television System Committee. And 3.0 is what we're calling next generation television. So that's what we're working on. That's what we need the Federal Communications Commission, which is the regulatory body that oversees broadcasting, to bless in terms of a rulemaking proceeding that would allow broadcasters to create this next generation of television.
Okay, so let's talk about what it's going to mean. Well, first off, let's just go back and look at a little history. We had analog, and then we made the transition to digital, which from my viewpoint certainly seemed to have gone smoothly. And that meant that we were getting really great definition television. I mean, I can see blades of grass on a football field at my house.
Sure.
And you know, I don't have anything fancy or special, but it's just the new technology and the way it's being delivered to us. So we're moving into a next generation of this product. But what it means is it's not just affecting you sitting in front of your TV set at home and watching television. Am I right? I mean,
that's correct. And we did the analog to digital and high definition transition in the mid 90s, where broadcasters were able to send much clearer picture quality through high-definition television, but we were also able to send multiple program streams simultaneously. That's why you might see that individual TV stations now can send on 7 o'clock on Sunday night, you can watch 60 Minutes on the Channel 9 in Washington, but you can also watch Bounce TV, which is an all 24/7 African American TV network started by Martin Luther King III. So the analog to digital transition allowed broadcasters to send multiple program streams simultaneously, but it also improved the clarity of the picture quality. And we led the world in that transition from analog to digital, and we want to also now lead the world in this transition to next generation television, which will allow broadcasters to send programming via the internet. It will allow us to embrace mobile TV, where you as a consumer and with a smartphone in your pocket or a tablet in your living room can watch broadcast programming on a more mobile platform as well.
Let me just interrupt one sec. And this would be the same programming that we would get over our television, but we're just making it so that we can move around with it.
Correct. So mobility is key, is very important to this, but it's also a better picture quality. Instead of going to high definition television, which we did when we made the transition from analog to digital, we're going to 4K and ultra high definition television, which means The engineers can say this better, but more pixels means a greater clarity and better picture quality. So there's all types of benefits to this. The other important part of this is emergency alerting capabilities, where you can maybe be asleep in the middle of the night, where your television or the device that you're receiving your television programming on will actually wake you up if there's a tornado going through your town, or in the case of folks in the path of Hurricane Matthew this past weekend would have been woken up by your by a television device to tell you to get out of harm's way. It would send you evacuation maps with pictures of where you should drive to get out of the way of a hurricane. So the public safety feature to next generation television is enormous as well.
Yeah, that's a very important point, because right now you can actually sleep through all of this and wake up the next morning and find devastation staring you in the face. If you're that sound asleep, or I'm not, but
yeah, or in the most dire of circumstances, be killed without even knowing that there's mm-hmm.
that there's a problem.
There's an emergency weather situation right. coming through your town.
Okay, now I'm sure that our techies in the audience are salivating at the thought of this and can't wait to get their hands on it. Tell me what kind of a schedule we're looking at before we get into more detail about the product itself.
The schedule is all dependent on, again, the FCC, the regulatory agency that oversees broadcasting and has to bless any new transmission technology. So it's essentially in the hands of five regulators at the FCC, and we've been encouraged by comments from the chairman of the FCC, Tom Wheeler, who came to the NAB show in Las Vegas in the spring and said he would move quickly once he was presented with a petition on this. Well, the petition was presented about 3 or 4 months ago, in April, actually, and so far it's been sitting at the commission. Now, to be fair, they've been involved in a lot of big, high-profile issues, but we think the time is now to move on this. One of the commissioners just yesterday or day before yesterday, Commissioner Pye, had a speech in Kansas where he said, essentially, time's wasting. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. This is going to be to the benefit of consumers. So our request to the FCC and to Chairman Wheeler is to follow through on the pledge you made before broadcasters right. at our NAB show in Vegas and move forward.
Yeah. Yes, I know there have been a lot of things before the FCC recently. And so once that, let's say once you get the approval, then there's going to be a time lapse, and then there's going to be a lapse as it's integrated into consumers' homes, because from what I've read, I gather it's going to require different equipment from what we have right now. But before we get to that point of it, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Dennis Wharton. He is the Executive Vice President of Communications for the National Association of Broadcasters. And we're talking about next generation television, which is a very exciting concept. And I'm sure many of the people listening are saying, okay, what is this going to cost me? Do I have to get a new television? Will I be able to just keep what I have, et cetera, et cetera? So let's start with what's it going to cost consumers? That's always an issue. And you know me, Dennis, I'm a consumer girl here.
Absolutely. So it depends on how you receive your television now. If you're a pay TV subscriber, meaning you receive your programming from a satellite television signal like DirecTV or Dish Network, or if you are a subscriber to cable, Comcast or Charter or Cox, there should be no change. If you're part of the roughly 20% of viewers who get their programming over the air with a TV antenna, and the TV antennas these days are much more sleek and slick and higher power than the old TV TV antennas. There might, with your television set, you will either have to swap out your existing television set, or there will be a device that you will attach to the existing television set that will enable you to receive these much improved pictures. So we think the device itself, if you don't want to buy a new TV set, will cost probably less than $100. There are companies that are manufacturing this equipment or in the process of manufacturing this equipment now. We think it will probably be a couple of years to be fair here before this whole transition will occur, even after the FCC begins this rulemaking that we've asked them to adopt. And there's experimental stations that are on the air right now working with this new standard to work out any of the kinks that are involved. So just to be clear to your listeners, this is not going to happen tomorrow, but we think it can happen within the next couple of years.
Okay, so now you're saying that there's a box that I could get that I could attach to the TV that I currently own, but this would not be getting the full spectrum of what's available to me, would it? Or would it?
No, it would.
It would, but no. But the picture quality is going to improve as well?
Absolutely.
The picture quality
will certainly improve as well. So there's no downside to this. The only question is if you're a pay TV subscriber now or if you're getting your programming for free with an over-the-air television antenna.
So the people who have antennas, they're going to make out like bandits on this because they don't really have to do much of anything. Is that what I'm?
Well, they will have to buy maybe a device that costs less than $100 that they would attach to the TV set, the existing TV set, or they might want to upgrade to another television set. That's the only question here.
And you would you would require one of these boxes for each TV.
If it's a TV that's not attached to a pay TV subscription service, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but if I don't want to do this, if I'm watching this, am I going to have to get a box, or is there going to be a period as you did with analog to digital, where analog and digital signals were broadcast for quite a while in some areas?
Yes, you are going to have to receive this, the capabilities that are afforded by this next generation television. If you're an over-the-air TV viewer, you will have to get either a new television set or a device that would enable you to receive this better picture quality and these emergency alerting capabilities and mobile broadcast television opportunities.
So I would not be able, would I be able to not get that box and just watch television as I do now?
Yes, you would. You would still be able to receive television pictures without the upgrade, correct?
Now, Dennis, one of the things that I've always we've heard so much about over the years is the lack of spectrum. In other words, space to carry programming and content and so on. What would this, and believe me, I know not what I speak, right? Just what I've read. What is this going to mean in terms of the availability of spectrum for broadcast?
Really, it shouldn't have any impact at all. In fact, going to a newer generation, an IP-based delivery of our television signals requires less spectrum to do some things. So, but it enables us to do more with less, essentially. So, think of this as the equivalent of switching from a dial-up internet service to fast broadband service.
Ooh, I like that analogy.
Sort of internet terms. Mm-hmm. So we can do more with less. And the beauty of this for those viewers who are over-the-air TV viewers only, it enables you to get more for free. Remember, the difference between broadcast TV and pay TV is that, you know, you can get multiple program signals, sometimes 40 or 50 channels in Washington, D.C. area, for example, without paying a dime each month. Whereas if you're a pay TV subscriber, you might pay $80, $90, $100 or more dollars a month for broadcast programming. And with next generation television, you'll not only get all of those program options for free, but you get the mobile options, you get ultra high definition television, and these emergency alert capabilities down the road as well.
And so this is being driven by the industry, I gather, by a conglomerate of people that have an interest in it. And I guess in most circumstances, we'd be competitors, but want to see the industry move forward to the bright, shiny future of making it much more accessible and beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's being driven primarily by broadcasters, but there really shouldn't be any opposition from our friends in the, in fact, from the consumer electronics
right.
perspective. They're going to sell more TV sets,
sure.
and more devices that you attach to the television. It again, there should be no opposition, we don't think, and that's one reason why we think the FCC should move forward with this.
Well, it sounds to me like it's a win-win for consumers, and you can easily upgrade. If you choose, you can buy a new TV. You can use this, get it on your tablet. You can get television
Correct.
In so many different ways. It sounds very exciting. Truthfully, my mind is just a little bit, oh, my gosh, another one. I love it.
Yeah, well.
Let me just take a brief pause here and let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Dennis Wharton. He's the Executive Vice President of Communications for the National Association of Broadcasters, and we're talking about the new technology that's around the corner, which will be a few years, I suppose, before it really penetrates the market. But a very exciting concept of what's going on here. So tell me a little bit more, Dennis, about some of the features that we're going to be enjoying as consumers.
Well, I mentioned ultra-high-definition television.
Oh, yeah.
Or 4K.
You and mean the blades of grass on my television are going to be even more visible.
Exactly. That's it's hard to believe, isn't it? But,
yeah.
I mean, I remember when we made the transition from analog to digital and high-def, the first time I saw high-definition television, I was completely blown away by it.
Yeah.
And I think most of your viewers are familiar with that sort of spectacular clarity of picture quality.
Right. And well, there's something else that I was reading about that I absolutely and totally love, and this is the audio side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be so many options for listening, not just viewing, to listening to the programming you want. You want to go through some of that?
Well, we call it immersive audio. It's like being in a movie theater that's upgraded their sound and speaker quality. So the sound system of the broadcast delivery will improve dramatically. There's also some capabilities involving data casting. We will have the possibility of doing more program streams and channels with this service. So the possibilities are data casting is another opportunity to receive sort of overnight on your TV set. Maybe the local newspaper or a national newspaper that would be streamed on your television set that you would be able to access, you know, when you wake up in the morning. So there's all sorts of options that probably we haven't even thought of all the new options available to us by this. I want to mention one thing I think might interest you is South Korea. Just adopted next generation television as the standard for how they will be receiving, TV signals.
Mm-hmm.
So historically, the U.S. has led the world in terms of a television transmission standard. HDTV was sort of invented or created in the United States, and we kind of led the world in this in this delivery system. The U.S. the Winter Olympics, which are going to be in Seoul in 2018, is going to be broadcast in this next generation television standard. Two of the Korean TV manufacturers, in fact, LG and Samsung, are going to be unveiling TVs equipped with this reception capability in anticipation of these broadcasts being available in the U.S. So exciting times for consumer electronics manufacturers, and all the more reason for us to adopt this standard quickly in the U.S.
To move forward, with this. One of the things that I liked is that you could listen to an audio stream that's different from, and the commentary that's different from what's being carried on, let's say, regular television. There would be optional audio streams to go with commentary or not commentary, and then the commercials themselves will not be blasting out at us when we're going to commercial.
Yeah, that's true. There's sort of these, what we're calling multicast options on audio. And there's also some sort of advertising features where if you see a car, a General Motors car that you like, you can click on a feature on your remote control and find out where that car might be sold, get discounts for restaurants that are in your area. So this is just, it's a brave new world of television that is exciting to most of our entire membership, and something that we think is going to excite our viewers as well.
Now, would this mean that you're using the traditional broadcast, you're using the internet? Is this a internet protocol, or how is it based? I mean, I don't know enough to ask intelligent questions.
Yeah,
so Dennis, make me look good, all right?
Well, I'm not an engineer either, but it is based on sort of internet protocol delivery of TV signals, which is how, you know, our friends in the internet world send their signals. Mm-hmm. It's something that we want to move to because of the robustness of the signal that allows us to do Ultra HD, some of these mobile broadcast delivery options that would allow younger viewers who are attached to their cell phones 24/7 mm-hmm. or tablets to be able to access their local TV station.
To be a participant in the system. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, what about the TV stations themselves? Is this going to be a technological challenge? We've only got a minute and a half or so.
Yeah, the cost will be borne by television stations to upgrade to this new delivery. We think roughly the cost will be around $300,000 per station, which will be built into their business plans over a number of years mm-hmm. to absorb this cost. But in terms of the back-end revenue potentials, we think we will more than make up with that by moving to this new transmission standard. So there will be a cost to TV stations, and the $300,000 will either go higher or lower depending on the station and depending on what equipment needs to be purchased. But that will be borne by the station, not by the consumer.
Sure. No, I expected that it would, because I would think there's going to be chances for additional revenue streams that's going to be appealing.
Right.
So that may take a little bit of while to factor in, but nevertheless, it seems that that's the case. Well, you know, interesting look at the future, Dennis. I mean, this is very exciting. Do you think this is going to be a couple of years coming, 3 years? Where are we?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of years is a good, two years is probably a good sort of benchmark. This 2018 Olympics
that's going to be
Korea
a motivator.
That's certainly a motivator.
Right.
And
well, Dennis, I'm sorry, we're out of time. It's been so great having you. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Folks, you've been listening to Off Consuming Interest. My guest has been Dennis Wharton. He's the Executive Vice President of Communications for the National Association of Broadcasters. And we've been talking about what's going to be coming to your house, your TV, your mobile device in the fairly near future, next generation television. I'm Shirley Rooker. You can reach me at shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.